Now, you got your Bibles? Or you know, y'all really need a Bible. Y'all got your little text and stuff. I mean, your iPad's okay, because some people, they're small writing, they can make that iPad bigger. But I always like old Bessie. I call it old Bessie. Have a Bible where you can mark in. I get this from the old school, I guess, you know. I get a better feel of the Bible, like I feel God better with a Bible. But you all were supposed to know what Romans 12, 1 through 3 says. Anybody know what it says? Yeah, I'm talking to these kids. Yeah, you ought to know. You better know. You've been pastoring 40-something years. Go ahead and turn there, because it's so important that you clarify that. If you don't clarify that, you're going to be taken every time. Romans 12, 1 through 3, I think is a precise, clear, protective measurement by the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit used the Apostle Paul, you listening? To set you up to understand how to protect. How old are you, son? 12, how to protect yourself. So I want you to look on these words. Let him see it. I want him to see it. Because as a Christian, we know we are tri-type beings.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes we want to do two things. Sometimes we want to do two things. We're double-minded. The reason for that is that our spirit is saved, but our soul is not. And so within our mind, our emotion, whatever one get the priority, your mind or your spirit, your body go with either one. So we actually are a tri-type being, but we got two distinctions, two ways we'll go. And a lot of times you don't know what's happening to you. You really not want to do what come up, but if you don't have yourself trained to notice Romans 12, 1 through 3, Romans 1, 12, 1 deal with your body, Romans 12, 2 deal with your mind or your soul, and then Romans 12, 3 deal with your spirit. You say, come up, God dealt every man D measure faith. So just for a lesson, let's read Romans 1 together, because I know another scripture I want, a kindred scripture. There's two other scriptures we had to go over. These three basic scriptures are three basic steps you can take to reprogram a bad scenario that have come in your life of no choice of your own, but by not knowing how to handle it, how to deal with it, it took grip in your life, but you can reprogram it, or you can deprogram, you can cleanse yourself out with the word of God. John 15, 3 said, you're cleansed by the word of God. So the word of God has cleansing power. It has sanctifying power. When I say sanctifying power, it can set you apart. So it's never too late. I know some of y'all might have been going through stuff 4 or 5 years or longer than that, all right? But it's okay. But just listen to me and let me walk you through the word over and over again and let the word wash you and sanctify you and set you apart. Now, Romans 12, 1 there, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. You see that?
Yes, sir.
That you, all right, that is right there. You need to underline that. Put that red, because this is not going to happen automatically. Now, it can happen if you don't know how. That's why we're here. I'm going to tell you how. But see, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, if you don't understand that last part, what is your reasonable service, it's talking about, in some translation, your spiritual service. In other words, you're inviting God to take over your life. I mean, it may seem like it's not working, but you just invite him to take over right where you are now. Invite him, give him the right to take over. And you had to present your body. And I think part of what we're doing here tonight, you're here tonight, is sort of an invitation to God. Say, I want you to take over. You know, you see, she got highlighted ye, because that's something you have to do. Ye mean you. Present your body to God as a living sacrifice. Holy and which is your living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, which is your spirit service. So I think what we're doing tonight, we're putting ourselves in a position that God can take our bodies over. Okay. Now, when you look at the second verse, and now it talks about being not conformed, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, look at the verse. Be not conformed. Conformed means take the shape of. Okay. But he says, be not conformed to what?
This world.
All right. So he said, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. He didn't tell us exactly said, be not conformed. Don't take the shape of this world. But it's talking about transforming. The transformation is, transforming to be more aware of the spirit world than you are of the natural world. Be more aware of God's way than Satan's way. And the word of God will bring you to that type of deliverance. So he said, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Notice three, good, acceptable, and perfect will. The three aspects of God's will there. But notice it had to do with your mind, see. So we're going to begin, you know, Satan only access to you is your mind.
Yes, sir.
So when you get you through your mind. I say get you through your mind.
Yes, sir.
Any of your mind been messed with? Mine have. Yours? Your mind ain't been messed with, you dead as a dog on a ranch with no cow. No, your mind is getting messed with. That's okay. That's part of the dilemma. But these voices are so powerful. And then the third one is, you know, talk about not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. For I say through the grace given to me to every man that among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God dealt to every man the measure of faith. He's talking about having faith. Now, also in 1 Thessalonians now, 5:23, it's so important. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Three sets of scriptures I'm going to give you are important, and then we'll take off what we left on our last lesson on how to take every thought captive. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, here we go now, three, and soul and body be what, class? Until where? Well, you say, wow, how am I going to do that, man? There's so much stuff, so much pressure. Well, go to the next verse. Uh-huh. Faithful he that called you who also will do it. See, he just wants you to present yourself. Now, that's a scripture I'm trying to think about now. And, is that Philippians 2:13 where he said God had awakened you to do his will? What scripture is that? Philippians 2:13. Turn now. See, because I want you to know you don't have to do this on your own strength. See, it's God. For it's God was working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So he will help you, but he can't help you if you don't know how to let him help you. Okay, now, I want you to look at me and I want you to listen to me. Not a one of you have a case too bad for it to be handled. Did you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, you sit here and you shut up in yourself and you say, oh, but he just don't know it. They just don't know what I'm going through. You might have been raped as a young child, male or female, might have been raped. You can walk out of this.
Yes, sir.
Okay? You may have done some things that you didn't want to do. Nobody knows about but you. You can walk out of that. Just keep listening to me. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to point my finger at you, I'm here to help you, okay? If you work with me, we'll all walk out and be free. If you got something going on in your home and you need to talk to somebody, if we have to get you some domestic help, we'll get it. We'll get the police. Because you ain't got no business being at your house and people just misuse you and abuse you, you know? So listen very carefully. Now the third verse, that's the third one, but the three sets I want was Romans 12:1-3. 1 Thessalonians 5:20. Y'all take any note? 5:23 and 24, right? Then the next important one is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Talk about the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds are thoughts that Satan have built up together against you and got in your mind. But you have the ability to pull it down, casting down imagination, false dream, devilish dream, devilish thoughts about doing things. All right, you cast them down, and then and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And then, but the next one, so you're pulling down, you casting down, and you're bringing. I want you to get those three words. You're pulling down something, you're casting down something, and you're bringing something. Bringing every thought into captivity to obedience to Christ. What I say, class, you're pulling down. Stronghold. Now, let's see what a stronghold is now. A stronghold is a group of thoughts that work against you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they're pulling you in another direction.
Right.
It's not your fault. All of us have thought, stronghold thoughts.
Yeah, right.
Okay, I want you to know that because you got to know, you got to know somebody working with you. Stronghold thoughts come to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's according, if you know what they are and if you know what to do with them
mm-hmm.
when they come. Now, God wouldn't tell us to do something we couldn't do. We're all Christian, right? You're all Christian, right?
Yes, sir.
So if God tells us pull it down, we can pull it down.
Right, sir. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. If God tells us cast down imagination,
yeah.
we can cast it down.
Right, sir. Right.
If God tells us bring every thought to the obedience of Christ, we can bring it.
Yes, sir. Right.
So it's three words I want you to talk to me. Give me the first one. The first word is what? Pull.
Pull.
All right. Second word is what?
Yes.
And the third one is what?
Bring.
All right, y'all got to talk up here. Some of y'all ain't going to get no free ride up in here.
Yeah.
Because I got to have you to say something that it can drop in your spirit that you can understand. This is what you call protector. It's protection.
Mm-hmm.
This Christian protection we're trying to put in a generational salvation, that all the technology, all the television, all the movies, all the different things that you have to deal with, because you really wouldn't be able to go nowhere if they're all moving up to be walls, didn't you? You'd be at your house the rest of your life. But you got to know how to go and know how far to go. And then when it go off, you got to know how to deal with it. Let it know, you know, there's just a film that they're doing, and they do a lot of them. I went to see one the other night. It cussed every word almost. If they would have bleeped it, we'd have had three words. My goodness. Now, taking every thought captive. Where I want to start off at. Your mind is the role that Satan uses to get access in your life. How many heard me? Your mind, let me write down the board for you now, you need to copy this stuff down, is the role that Satan uses to get access in your life. He has no other access. He has no demon, none of that. He used your mind. So we can get you where to protect your mind, know how to deal with your mind. You're going to be fine. You're going to turn some things around that he might have caught you 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago. You can turn it around and get back on the right street. Now, so he says what we need to do, we need to put something in front of that road. If your mind is the road, right, what we need to do now, we need to put something in front of that road. When he try to come down that road, we need to have something down that road to stop him.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Another way to say it, we need a roadblock. Mm-hmm. Or let's say our life is a building. Now watch this. Say our life is a building in an office complex. You know what you got to deal with when you go to an office complex, right?
Mm-hmm.
The receptionist.
Yes,
I know when you come here, you got to deal with Barbara.
Yeah.
And you most likely won't get to me. Unless you got a clear, precise explanation, you'll never get to in my office. You got to go through some red tape to get them off.
Yeah.
And let's put Satan through red tape to get to our mind.
Yes, sir.
All right? So I want to help you on this. So what we need before anything get into this office complex, we need a receptionist. You're talking about your mind now.
Yeah.
And the author said, you know how some companies have receptionists, mean and nasty. And if you don't know certain information about the boss, the maiden name of the boss' mother, who his father is, uncle, brother, and sister, or you're not going to get through. And so we need to rape thoughts before thoughts rape us.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Put that down. Mm-hmm. That comes straight out of the spirit. Yeah. We need to rape thoughts before thought rape us. We need to take all thoughts' clothes off.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Let's literally rape it
yeah.
and see if it really was sent to you.
Right.
Before it take all your clothes off. She's going to say, no, do you have an appointment? Do you know anybody? Did you talk to him before you come down up here? So that receptionist is going to control the situation.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be the gatekeeper of who is allowed
right.
into that office.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And now you see that?
Yeah.
So you have to be the doorkeeper of your mindset.
Yes, sir.
And you got to reject what you don't want in your mind. And you got to take in what you need to take in. That's where the problem is, all right? So So what we're trying to do is get you to put your mind as an office complex and then put a gatekeeper in your mind that every thought they have to check in with first. I told him I'm thinking about a $25,000 seed I got to sew, but I ain't sold overnight.
Yeah.
I check my mind out and everything out, make sure it's all right with what the Lord wants to see. You ever been to one of them office complex? Got that little woman sitting in there? Got a woman sitting in the center there?
Yeah,
you're not getting in. You're not just going to walk into the office. You're not going to walk just in, go walk in a lawyer office or a doctor office.
Right.
So you need to do that with your mind.
Yes,
are y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
you need to have a circular desk in your head and in your heart that says, I got a reception this year that every thought had to check in with first. Before I let it run free range, it has to be checked out. And my reception is going to determine whether it to let you in our life or not. It just tells you how to protect your mind.
Yes,
let's say, who is that receptionist? What is gatekeeper inside of our mind? What is gatekeeper inside of our mind that should be controlled? Every thought and every thought has to check in with. Here's the gatekeeper. You want to know who the gatekeeper is? Here's the gatekeeper. It is the image of God. Image of God. The image of God on the inside of you needs to be the gatekeeper of every thought that comes into your life. You're made in the image of God. If you take time and think about it, that image will rise up and say, no, this don't fit you. You don't wear this. You don't need this. You don't want this. And so you can say no.
Yes,
you know, I know the term just say no, and it ain't that easy. You got to know how to deal with
right,
it
right,
to
right,
say
right.
no. And I'm trying to tell you, the image of God. In other words, if what the thought comes that do not fit the image of God, you don't want it.
Right, right.
Now, the image of God being you like God. I mean, you do godly things. Thoughts, each one of you are smart enough to tell if a thought off the road.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
now, some people say word don't hurt, thoughts don't hurt. They do hurt.
Yes,
they'll tear you up. So the image of God says, here's how it works. Let's take a thought of sickness. A thought of sickness come against you and come to knock on your door and say, I'd like to come in and begin to possess your body and control your body. Begin to take over a little cell in your body called cancer. Now you come knocking with that. You see, it's just a thought. See, every sickness is a thought first.
Right. Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
The image of God needs to say, whoa, wait a minute. Wait 1 minute. I'm sorry you don't pass the test.
All right. Yeah.
You don't look like the image of God to me. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Therefore, you have to take your little behind out of my office, off my desk, out of my building, and get behind me, Satan. Amen.
Yeah.
See, every origin of sin, every mistake you're making right now, it started with a thought.
Right.
Somebody said something to you, you looked at something, and you say you're going to look one time, you went and look again, you look again, you look again, and the thing start taking you over. Now, wait a minute, not too bad. We can some of you little girls might be done had sex already. Boys too, not married. Listen, I ain't no fool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. Yes, sir.
All right. Now, you take your virginity back.
Yeah.
Don't do it no more.
Yeah, right. Yes, sir.
And save it till you get married.
Right. Yes, sir.
All right, you can have all the sex you want when you get married. Knock yourself out.
Yeah.
24 hours a day if you want. But not now.
Yeah.
It ain't right. So don't let no little boy talk no hole in your head, and you little boy, you young men shouldn't do it either. Every thought got to check in with the image of God. Well, you know, the image of God is not you having no sex at no 14, 12, 13,
right.
15, 16 years old with no husband.
Right.
So some thought of poverty and some thought of lack begin to come in and come against you, and you begin to say, whoa. Same thing. Wait a minute. Let me check the image of God. Image of God and see if that person, that thought can be allowed in there. See, you just got to stop the thoughts. That's all I'm saying. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes,
sir. So the image of God says, no, we don't have that in our image. But the image of God do not include lack. The image of God does not include poverty. We're just talking about different varieties of things. The image of God does not include not having enough. So we just want to allow that thought into our life.
Yes, sir.
You see? You see how that works? Everything has to check in at the registration desk.
Yes, sir.
You heard that?
Yes, sir.
Everything has to check in at the registration desk. If it does not have the mark of the image of God, it's not allowed in the building.
Yeah. Wow.
You heard it?
Yes, sir.
If it does not have the mark of the image of God, it's not allowed in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, class. If it does not have the mark of the image of God, if it does not have the mark of the image of God, come on.
Yes, sir.
It's not allowed in my life.
It's not allowed in my life.
Now, do you understand what the image of God is? The image of God is being a new creature, holiness, sanctified, clean. That's the image of God. That's what God called you to be. And he said he'll help you to be that. You know what I'm saying? But we, in our generation, we got so much pollution, man. So you need to be like, that thought come against you. Don't, that doesn't look like the image of God, tell it, get out. Get out, because I got something in here greater than that. See what I'm saying? Come on, class, amen.
Amen.
All right. Now let's look at Mark 11:23. Speaking to a mountain to be removed. Maybe something that needs to be moved out of your life. That's one of the verses that changed my life in knowing how to handle it. Where it said, verily, verily, I say, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Are you listening to me?
Wow.
How old are you? 9. You listening? Yeah. Try to focus, because some things are trying to distract you. But try to focus, because if I say one thing, it might take you 5 or 6 years, okay? So just try to listen. And God love you. God love all of you all. You understand? I'm one of his representatives. I walk in 3 offices. I walk in an apostle, a prophet, and a teacher. That's 3 of the 5 full offices. And God, I don't know some kind of way he want me to tell you that right now, that he loves you and he wants you to make it. And he's a forgiving God. And I don't want you to be condemned about what happened in the past, because he'll try to hold you in your past. Don't let him do it. You understand? Don't let him do it, because he'll use that past against you. He used that past to tell you ain't nothing. What you think? Who you think? Them people look at all them people sitting up here. You did. You know what you did? He said, no. You tell him get behind you. Now, here's the reason you'll be able to do Mark 11:23. The reason why you should be able to speak to any mountain to be removed is because you have an image on the inside of you that is bigger than the mountain.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You heard that?
Yes, sir.
You listening? You want me to say it again? Yeah, I'm going to say it again for you. All right. So you have the ability, anything come in your life that is not working for you, working against you, it become a mountain in your life. Okay? The Bible talks about in 1 John 4:4, because we are children of God, he says, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. So when things come against you, they can't be greater than you, because you already got the greater on the inside of you. All right? So he says, the reason why you should be able to speak to any mountain, a mountain is adversity, sin advertisement, enticing spirit, lustful spirit, perverted spirit, they're trying to pull you away from your Christian walk. That's a mountain. And the reason why you should be able to speak to any mountain to be removed is because you have an image on the inside of you, that's the life of God, that is bigger than that mountain. That mountain don't want you to know that, but the image is bigger on the inside of you. Now, you can't see our, we cannot see ourselves as little defeated people trying to speak to this big mountain.
Right. Yeah.
Okay? We got to see us as big people looking down at the little mountain and knocking it over like an anthill. You ever kick an anthill over? Don't let the ant get you, but you ever kick one over? Whoever kick an anthill over, an ant got you. Bought them the rock and fight too, partner. You wish you'd never been out there. But because, turn to 1 John 4:4, because we have an image on the inside of us that is greater and bigger than anything. 1 John 4:4, ye of God, little children, have overcome them because greater is he, that's Jesus, the Holy Spirit, that is in you than he that is on the outside of you. See. It would be sad for a man have his home, have his family, and let somebody else run his house. From the outside. No. See, so in the inside, your body is called a temple of the Holy Ghost. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:20. We're going to read that. 1 Corinthians 6:20. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Powerful verse. I'll probably look at the 19 and the 20 verse. Go back to the 19. The 19 verse. What? Everybody say what? You know how to say what? What? Somebody tell you something? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. Every one of you all are born again. Mm-hmm. What you have of God and you're not your own. Go to the next verse now. Watch what it says. For you are bought with a price. That's the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your body. Glorify God. Satan wants your body. Yeah. This world system wants your body. I mean, the internet wants your body, boy. Yeah. I see people getting naked. I saw a girl the other night. She said, I'm just going to show him a little bit. She pulled her dress up to her thigh. And she thought, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. Then before it was over, she bug naked. She took her, she taking everything off and sent a picture. She married. Yeah. Wow. You know, that's how easy it can work, just like that. Wow. Yeah. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Yeah. Y'all know. It's a fast pace, man. It's a fast pace. That's why I thought we need to get you in a loving setting, mm-hmm. talk this thing out with you. And give you a chance to hear what God has to say about it.
Right.
Okay? All right. The mountains that are in our lives need to look like anthills. Because we have a image on the inside of us that is greater and bigger than that. Then that's 1 John 4:4. Because we have, look at 1 John 4:4. And look at the part, greater is he that is in me. We're going to say that three times. You got it? Ready. Greater is he that is in me. Say it again.
Greater is he that is in me.
Say it again.
Greater is he that is in me.
You know, sometimes the Lord attract me to somebody when I'm talking, I'm looking around. I always like to look. So I look to see if they open their mouth. But the little girl I was looking at, she opened her mouth. Let's say it one more time.
Greater is he that is in me.
You just got the in me out. Come on, I want you to get the great out. Start with us. Ready? Greater. Wait, hold up. She ain't got it. She missed the greater. So you can't miss the greater. I want everybody to start with us, all right?
Greater
is he that is in me than he is
in the world.
Who are you talking about there? Who know who you're talking about there? The greater in you. Who? Christ. Jesus. Huh? The Holy Spirit. The nature of God. See, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things pass away and all things become new. So you have the image of God. I'm going to tell you something I told my class on Wednesday night. It's going to help you. Some of y'all already know it. The image of God. You got the likeness of God. Huh? You listening, class? Huh? You have the nature of God. Huh? Huh? You're a new creature. Huh? You're a son of God. That means son and daughter. You're a son of God.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Right?
Right.
Now, let me just share with you how there's a lot of traffic going on, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, internet, television, I mean, all kind of stuff going on. And I was teaching my class how to walk in divine traffic, how to walk in mysteries, how to walk in secrets,
mm-hmm.
huh? The rhythm of God, and what the other one was? We got one more.
Timing.
The timing of God. And so that's, and so I thought about it: forgiveness, faith, love, joy, peace. All that's divine traffic,
yes, sir.
Because it's in the spirit world. But then you have demonical traffic.
Right. Yes, sir.
So if you're not walking in divine traffic, demonical traffic will take you over.
Yes, sir.
All right. And I thought that you always, almost, you know, we have families trying to help us, but sometimes our family members don't know enough to keep us covered like we should. And I thought that you need to know how to walk in divine traffic, how to stand your ground, how to get forgiveness when you make a mistake, et cetera, all right? There's a scripture also I want to call your attention to. There's a spiritual marrow. Y'all know about natural marrows, I hope. Let me see if y'all know about a mirror. Yeah. There's a spiritual mirror there in James 1:25. Yeah. Turn there because in this class, I don't want you to forget what manner of person you are. And you're not going to know how you are spiritually unless you look in God's word. That's what we're doing. We're taking a look in God's word. A God who loves us and wants us to have the best, wants us to live a good life. All right. Condemnation. Here's how dirty Satan is. He leads you to do something. He sends somebody to get you.
Right.
Yeah, he sends somebody to get you. You do wrong. Okay. You're sorry you did it. And he won't let you forget it. He won't let you forget it because he wants you to do it again. And do it again. He wants you to believe, listen very carefully, he wants you to believe that you're trapped. Look at me, you're not trapped.
Right.
Because if you trapped, God trapped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, I shared with the congregation today, two I am and three I will. Mm-hmm. You need to know them. Isaiah 41:10. Two I am, and how many I will?
Three.
Two I am, say it.
Two I am.
And three I will.
Three I will.
All right, I'm going to give them to you tonight. In other words, God's saying this to you tonight. God's going to say these five things to you tonight from Isaiah 41:10. I want you to hear him saying it to you. You hear me, young man? I want you to hear God saying this to you because you're going to need this. Hear God saying this to you. When you lay down in the bed tonight, hear God saying this to you. I don't care how far you've gone wrong, we can turn this thing around.
Right.
What's the first thing he said? The first I am. I'm with thee. All right? That's God saying he's with you because you're his child. Second I am. Now look at the three I will. I will what? What else?
I will help
thee. What
else?
I will uphold thee. Now these children really need to be looking at the scriptures. Y'all, are they looking at the board? Are y'all looking at the board? No, you wouldn't look at the board. You looking at me. I want you to see it and hear it because there's a partner here. Look at me. I'm really not the teacher here.
Come on, Dad. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
They got somebody going home with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now somebody going to be in your class tomorrow with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And these words I'm saying to you, what's your name? Say it loud. How old are you? 14. All right, you're a pretty young girl. 14. Now listen. Listen. What I'm saying to you, God's going to say it to you again. The Holy Spirit is really your teacher. He lives on the inside of you. You a Christian? What? I mean, you got it. He's there. And so we got a divine method the way God works with us, you see. See, we're all getting out of cars. We go various ways. But yet, the word that went forth is with all of us. And then the Holy Spirit starts building it on the inside of you.
Right.
So you just got to expose yourself to it. You'll finally get it. You know, I told you when I was 25 or 26, I came out of the street. But I was in the street at an early age in my teen years, real wild. Then I got saved that morning, and I haven't been back since. And God kept building something in me over 47 years. He's been building something in me to keep me from going back in the street. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
I wouldn't dare practice no sin.
Yes,
I didn't never say I don't miss it, but I won't dare practice no sin, and I won't be committed to sin.
Right. Right.
That's all God asking you to do, and he can help you, all right? So I never let you look at the verse. You got James 1:25, write it down, because that's the mirror, okay? So I'm doing a lot of talking. And this one here is the five things that God promised he'll do for you in one verse. I want you to know I am and I will are two powerful statements, because I am mean that there's nothing that I cannot be to you. I will, when you hear when God saying it, it means nothing. Nobody can stop me. I can change your scenario just like that. Nobody bigger than me. I went ahead of myself. This is the image you have to have of yourself. That is the picture you have to have of yourself. How do you get that picture? You look into the mirror, that is, and get the image of who you really look like. That image has to be the registration desk that every thought has to check in with. Got it? Now, see, can you agree with this? You need to keep the concept of the image, the mirror, which is James 1:25, or any other aspect of the Word of God, all right? I need to warn you that in this teaching, I got a thick set of teaching now. I got other things I want to teach you. I'm training your spirit. I'm training your mind now. The things I'm saying to you, you can't put it down, because your thought can just run wild. How many of y'all know your thought can run wild?
Yes, sir.
Come on, y'all put your hand up, your lying thing. Them thought can run wild. Them thought can drive you out of it. Just think of all kind of stuff. And you wasn't thinking of all of a sudden. Now, why that come? So you got to know what to do with it when it comes. Because you can't escape the thought from coming.
Right.
But you can make sure it can't stay.
Yeah, that's good.
So everybody have thought. The bishop, the pope, the queen, everybody have all kind of thoughts come. Because they just come. Thoughts just come. You just ain't, I mean, you hadn't asked for nothing. You wasn't talking to nobody.
Yeah.
Bam!
Yeah.
This thought come.
That's right.
Yeah. Anybody ever experienced that?
Yes, sir.
Everybody who haven't experienced that, you already dead, we're going to have your funeral tomorrow. Because if you're alive, you're going to have some crazy thought. Boy, it just come. I don't care what good family you come, what's your last name. Because you got Satan.
Yeah, right.
You understand me? All right. All right, let's deal with, let's go to 2 Timothy 1:7 again. 2 Timothy 1:7. These three things we need to know. For God has not given us the spirit of what?
Fear.
But of what?
Power.
And of what?
Love.
And of what?
Sound.
What's the three things he gave us? Know that sound mind. So that means you can have an unsound mind. That's what Satan wants you to have. These are three things we overcome fear with. Power, love. How old are you, boy? 13. And a sound mind. Power, love. And because you're a Christian, you have power, you have love, and you have a sound mind. All you got to do is ask the Holy Spirit. You know, when you get confused, or somebody trying to out-talk you, you listening? Or you got to ask the Lord, Lord, help me. You know, and the Holy Spirit going to hear you. See, that's what I'm so happy about, that I can minister to you and I can tell you how to get help just like that. Once you ask the Holy Spirit to help you, it wall on, partner, and he don't, the Holy Spirit do not lose.
That's right.
Never lose. You understand that? Power overcome fear. Yeah. Oh, I love this. Here's why power overcome fear. Because when you know you have power to change something, you don't have to be afraid at the way that thing is.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. A good verse here would be the Lord laid it out in his ministry. Let me ask you, who know what this verse is. Don't speak it out. Who knows in here what Luke 10:19 said? Okay, I see one hand, one brave soldier, two. Don't get too brave and throw them hands up on me, because I'll call you out. I always bluff people. Luke 10 and 19, turn there. You need to know what that says. Behold, I give unto you power. See, that is to tread upon serpents. So serpent and scorpion, talking about demons and the devil and his cohort. And over all the power, over all the power of the enemy, over all the power of the enemy, over all the power of the enemy. Say it, over all the power of the enemy. Say it again, over all the power of the enemy. I have power over all the power of the enemy. You didn't say it, God. Call you cute and all that. Now you done got too cute. Listen. Come on here. I forgot what we're talking about. Over all the power of the enemy. I have power over all the power of the enemy. I want everybody saying it. Over all the power of the enemy. The enemy is Satan. Right? Right. You have power. Now that voice, behold, Jesus said that. I give unto you power to tread, to walk on serpents and scorpions. That's demonic power. And over all of, I love it, over all the power of the enemy. So if I can walk over all the power of the enemy, how much power he got left? Zap. And notice what he said at the end of this verse. Read it. Breathe on that, Holy Spirit. Breathe on that, because I know some of y'all heard it. Some of us put on a facade, a fake smile. But deep down, we're hurting because some things may have happened in our life. All right now, little girl. Hey, how old are you? Yeah. You. How old? 16. Oh, you old enough to act like an adult. I'm talking, you listen. Y'all talk together after a while. This is so important, baby. You'll love me for it in the years to come. What happened, young kids get robbed, they miss their husband or they miss their wife because they mess around with some trifling bastard who don't love God. Yeah. And the men are missed the point who going to love them and take care of them. See that lady back right there? She's sitting with her husband back there. Look right there. She's sitting with her husband. She caught her husband. She caught her husband, see? So she got her own man right there. Right there, I'm saying. See? She got her own husband, see? And so you have to pay attention in a class like this. I won't be hard on you, but I want you to hear me. Right. We don't want to go through the motion here. Right. This is my Sunday evening.
Come on, Dad. Come on now. Come on,
Dad. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. That's what? This is my Sunday evening, man. Yeah. This is my lay down time. You know what I'm saying? I don't want you to come out there and just say, well, I'm just here because Mama made me come. Why love overcome fear? Love overcome fear because perfect love casts out fear.
Right.
And then you get to the sound mind. Overcome fear because fear is always a result of thinking something other than what God said.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me tell you what fear is. Yeah. Fear is always thinking something that God has not said.
Yes,
it's something Satan make you think is a thought of God. Or it's your thought, but it's his thought, and you got get you from under love, and you become fearful.
That's right.
Okay? All right. Now, when you think in what God has said, all fear will have to leave you. When you think in what God has said, all fear will have to leave you. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
How old are you? Yeah, you. 11. That's your child? Uh-huh. You got any sister? No, her. Your daughter. Mm-hmm. You like you've been crying or something. Wow, she said, wow. You all right? All right. You know I love you, right? What's your name? Say it again. Jael? Jael? I'm saying it right now?
Jael.
How you spell that? Jesus. Mama did that? A possibly in it. You can't even spell it yourself. Let me see. Now, come on, spell the name. Come on. Spell it out. Spell it out. Quick, spell it out. I should say it. All right. You did good, too. You undoubtedly raised right because you didn't get snobby. I bet your mama slapped inside the head you get snobby. So she know, yeah. Yeah, you're a cute little girl. Now, you got to carry yourself right. Sometimes I talk to you. Talk to you by the grace of God. If something hadn't happened, something up the road want to happen. And I'm preparing you for it. Because you got so many traps out there for you, you know? Yes, you got so many traps. I'll be through in a minute. There's no way that fear can stay in your life or in your heart or in your life when you're thinking in line with God's thinking, or when your thinking is lined up with God's word. You're thinking God's thinking. See, we're always back to Romans 12, 1 and 2, 3, you see, and especially Romans 12 and 2. So let's say this. God has not given me a spirit of fear.
God has not given me a spirit of fear.
But power.
Love.
Love.
And a sound mind.
I have love.
I have
power.
I have a sound mind.
And I want you to zero in on the third one. I have a sound mind. Say it.
I have a sound mind.
Say it again. I have a sound mind. Now, why does God want us to have a sound mind? I'm going to go to one or two, and then I'm going to give a chance if anybody wants to ask a question. We'll ask a question, and we're going home. Why does God want us to have a sound mind? Now, sound mind means you can have an unsound mind, right?
Yes, sir.
Very simply, because your mind is the access point by which Satan gains entrance into your life. God wants you to have a sound mind because your mind is the access point by which Satan gains entrance in your life. So when Satan gains entrance in your life through your mind, then your body will do anything because it sides up with your mind.
Yeah, right.
See, your body either go with your mind or to go with your spirit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, when you renew your mind, you're getting your mind ready to cooperate with your heart.
Right.
Then your body don't stand no choice. You got to do what you tell it to do.
Right.
But if Satan can get your mind, he take your mind and take your body too. That's where perversion come from.
Yeah, wow.
He pollutes your mind first.
Right. Right.
Now he's coming back for your body
right.
If he's not stopped. You don't get in a class like this or somebody reach out and help you. He's coming for the whole evil front of you. He's going to get
right.
you.
Right.
All right?
Right?
Satan does not gain interest through your body. Satan does not gain interest through your spirit. Satan does not gain interest through your finances. Satan does not gain interest through sickness. Satan gains entrance or access through the thoughts that we think.
Yes, sir.
The battle that we are facing, listen to me, the battle that we are facing is the battle in our mind. Y'all heard that?
Yes, sir.
It is the battle between our ears. That is where the battle is won, W-O-N. That is where the battle is lost, L-O-S-T. It is between our ears. It is in our heads. That is why Satan fights so much in our thought life. He understand the R-O-O-T, the root to everything in our life is what we think about. See, you most time you're dealing with the leaf,
uh-huh.
and you're dealing with the fruit.
Yeah, right.
But you got to deal with the root.
Yeah, right.
See, so a lot of times Christians go through motions. They cry, they get punished. They got to stay home 33 days.
Yeah.
They haven't got to the root.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they come right back.
Yeah.
See, when Jesus cursed that tree, He cursed that tree at the root.
Yeah.
So the tree still standing tall, yeah. Still blossom. You know, the disciples said, oh, shoot, he ain't did nothing. The disciples with him, you know, yeah. Said, man, he told that tree like he going to do something to that tree. They told me, of course, that tree ain't paying him no attention.
Yeah.
But when they came back,
right.
The Bible specifically said that tree was withered from the root.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't speak to the fruit.
Yeah.
He spoke to the root. Huh?
Yes, sir.
See, if you won't change, if you won't stop something, you got to stop it at the root where it's growing at.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
You got this, class? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why Satan fights so much in our thought life. He understands the root to everything in our lives and what we think about.
Yeah. Right.
What you think about, you listening?
Yes, sir.
What you think about will ultimately result in your future. I'm trying to close, man. My goodness. I'm going to go through this. I got 8 minutes. Let me give you the pattern, or let me give you the path of progression. How many want to know how this thing works? Let's start with our thought life. Here we go now. And I love this segment of it. I'm going to give you 5 or 6 things to think about. Your thought will determine your decision. Your thoughts will determine your decision. Got it?
Yeah.
Hey, Purple, you got it? How old are you? I've asked you already, huh? I've asked you already how old you are? This is my second time asking you? All right. Second time. I want you to watch out, because somebody's going to try something on you. Is she any kin to you? Yeah. What she is to you? Your sister, how old are you? 17, 16 and 17, right? Huh? Y'all stay in the same house? Huh? Y'all get along? Sometime, man. Look at you. All right. Both of y'all better be aware. And she got lipstick on. How old are you? How old are you? 16. Oh, y'all 16. All dotted up, got your lipstick on. All right. Come on. Get your mind here. Your thought will determine your decision. Say it.
My thoughts.
Will determine my decision.
Determine my decision.
You never made a decision without a thought.
Right. Right.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Now, your decision will determine your action.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the third one is so clear. Your action will determine a result in or turn into a habit. Your habit will develop your character. And your character will determine your destiny. Get that? You need to get a hold of this pattern. It's a pattern. It's a pattern that Satan used, and it's the only access he has to you. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how funky it is. I don't care how stinky it is. I don't care how rough it is. I don't care if it's x-ray. I don't care what it is. The pattern is you got to guard your thought life. He gets your thought life. It will determine your decision. In other words, everything you do wrong in life came from a thought. And you made a decision based on that thought. Then your decision will determine your action. Once you made that decision, then you're going to act on that decision. So if you can cut this off and get the right thought pattern, you can shut him down. So if you are at all, listen at me. So if you are at all concerned about your destiny, and I believe that every one of us should be, and probably is very concerned about our destiny, and where we're headed in life, here's what we got to do. Here's what we got to understand. Right here. What is going to be the outcome of our life? How are we going to end up in this life? Is that important to each one of us, how our life end up?
Yes.
Let me see who it is important to. Let me see. Is it important to you how you end up? How your life end up? Huh? You sure don't want to end up being a girl when you're a man.
Yeah.
You don't end up being a man when you're a girl.
Yeah.
And you, stop raising them little boys so soft that. Slap him side of the head. Don't let him be there. Come up. Hey, mommy. No, get your tail out of here, boy. go out in the yard and do something. Get some mud on your tail. Or something.
Yeah.
Shut up, your man. Come on, you won't know how to bake. Ain't no baking. You don't need to know how to bake. I'm going to do the baking.
Yeah.
You got to toughen them up, you know.
Yes,
so we had a problem when just a woman tried to raise a little boy because
yes,
he get her. But she, you know, you need a man that's like.
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Isn't it important to us? I'm about to close in a few minutes. Isn't it important to us that we fulfill God's will for our life?
Yes.
How many of y'all want to fulfill God's will for your life? All right. How many of y'all, you don't have to raise your hand for this one. How many of y'all feel somewhere in life, I want you to think about this, God will, for whatever reason, maybe for a lack of understanding, a lack of wisdom, is not flowing in your life like it should. I want you to think about that. And I want you to know that we can turn this thing around.
Yeah, right. Yes, sir.
Okay? You forget the things that are behind you. You listening?
Yes,
you listening? And press forward to the things that are before us. We can't do nothing about what have happened.
Yeah, right.
We didn't have no generational salvation. It just happened.
Yeah,
all right?
Yeah.
But now we can do something about it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Huh? All right. So here's a good one. The things about our destiny is, our destiny is not at all what we need to be concerned about. Watch this. If you're concerned about your destiny, you don't need to work on your destiny. If you're concerned about your character, you don't need to work on your character. Come on, you listening? If you're concerned about your habit, you don't need to work on your habit. What? If you're concerned about your action, you don't need to work on your action. You remember what I said? Root. If you're concerned about your decision, you don't need to work on your decision.
Yeah. Come on.
What? If you're concerned about all these things, you need to work on only one thing.
Yeah. Come on. Yes, sir.
And one thing only, your thought life.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Break the complication up, right? Because
yes,
listen, what do you say? You don't have to think about your decision. You don't have to think about your habit. You don't have to think about nothing. You don't have to think about none of that. Because if you go to the root, which is your thought life, you can change your habit. You can change your decision.
Yeah.
You see how
yeah.
He'll try to make it complicated. What I'm going to do? I want you to think about one thing.
Yeah.
Watch that thought. Watch what television, internet, and even those little games y'all play on your phone, putting in your mind. Those things are not real.
Yeah.
Stay real. Stay in reality
yeah.
that I'm a child of God and I have a life I want to live and God's going to help me live that life.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you he'll do it for you. I promise you he can turn everything around that have been a hindrance to you because your thought life is to him. You got that? Your thought life is the pilot. Your thought life, he's talking about a boat, is the rudder. Your thought life is the root to all those things in your life. Your destiny is the fruit of your life. Your character is the fruit of your life. Your behavior and action and habit, they are the fruit of your life. Your decision, they are the fruit of your life. So you get to the root, you're going to draw the right fruit, you got it made. My God. But your thought life is the root to all of those other things in your life. So you're leaving here, out of all I taught, you had to think about only one thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been here talking a whole hour, and my God, it took him a long time to tell us that one thing. But you had to go through all those other things, because all those other things try to be a substitute, and they are telling you those other things, you listening? Are telling you they're in control, but they're not. You can shut them down tonight by your thought life. Your habit, the character, the sin you're stuck in, the perversion, whatever it is, sneaking, looking at something, whatever it is, it started with a thought. And do you know, I know this, Christians do not want to sin. If you're really born again, that thing, you might be in it, but that thing, what bothers you? You sure feel bad about it. You don't want that thing to happen, you know, in your life. You know, man, I don't want this to happen in my life. Well, you got something to work with now. Work with your thought life. Come on, give me one finger. The generation salvation. One finger. That one finger represents root, and it will handle the whole deal. My thought life. Any trouble you in now, any mishap or any devious or mischievous thing you're doing, start right there. We don't have nine things, you see. You don't have to be real, real smart in this class. No, one thing, your thought life. Your thought life going to run it all. Yeah. Got it?
Yes, sir.
So, this is going to be our signal to one another. And I don't want you to play with it in the aspect and make it a joke. But every now and then, just to check our little brother, check our sister, give him this finger right here, right next to the thumb. Don't give him the other one. This finger right here. This finger right here, right next to your thumb. Yeah, yeah. And I want you to do it just as a reminder. Just as a reminder. Y'all might be out together somewhere, and they about to fall for a Mickey.
Right, yeah.
They tell you go, and you do that to them, and so you doing it now. The Holy Spirit going to help them when you do that. The Holy Spirit is going to remind them, you really don't have to do this.
Right.
You don't want to do this, and this is not going to come out good. Okay. Now you might see me somewhere. You're walking through the store. When I do that, what that mean? Root? What? Root what? What you got to do? Who won't answer me? Who won't hold a hand and answer me? When I do this, what it mean? You tell me what it mean. What's your name? Purple. What? What does it mean? You don't know, do you? What? What it mean? What? One what? One what? One thought life. What else it mean? Give me another word start with an R. Give me another word start with an R. R. Right before S? What? She said it? Yes, you got it. What else one mean? Your eyes got big there, money. So what else can he be talking about? What else one mean? It mean the root, it mean your thought life. It means, see, I'm making up things as I go now. It means there is no two. There is no three. There is no four. Now, Carl, I'm trying to close it. We've got to get out of here. This singles your battle. You got a habit? It didn't come from the habit. It came from the thought. When you start cleaning your mind up and that habit come back, your thought going to knock it out. Got it? All right, get up and lift both hands there now. Get up, stand up, lift both hands there. That'd give God a little praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Shatta la la ba shatta. Holy Spirit, please. Make yourself known to every child under my voice, every man, every woman under my voice, in this sanctuary and by internet around the world. All these young men and young women. I know some have got in trouble, Lord. There's no way. Because they didn't know what to do. I mean, you don't know what to do. All this stuff coming at you. You go to school trying to be nice, then the school teacher hit on you. I mean, so it's all the janitor, everybody, just perverted, crazy people. You go to the store, somebody whistling and blowing the horn. It's all kind of crazy stuff going on. You try to watch a decent story on TV, and all of a sudden, they jump in the bed. So help us to be strong in our mind, to have a sound mind, a strong mind, the mind of Christ. I pray that some things in this room I don't know nothing about, Lord. You don't even want me to know it. But you know it. And you know I'm to do what you told me to do. To help this generation. So I need your help, Lord. I I can't go home with all these young people. I can't be with them when they go out. But you are. And I thank you that they feel loved, they feel forgiven, and that whatever they need to repent, they will repent. And we'll have testimonies break out in this service like never before. Some going to tell us how they got delivered, how they got set free. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.